of Jehovah is the God Almighty. He's the Prince of Peace. All my troubles vanish.
I just want to thank God for to being here. I wasn't here Sunday, and it seemed like it took forever to get here. It's like it's months and months, and it was only one time, and I was listening to it, but it's still not the same. And I just want to thank God for all those people that have to be out there to listen to it and has a desire to be here. And we are so blessed. And I don't want to take it for granted that you can walk in these doors, you can get peace, you see the family. It's like a family reunion. Amen. You're so happy when you see them to come through the doors, and you're so thankful. And I'm just so thankful. God has shown me so much. And the other thing that I like about it is it's personal. You know, for years, I always tried to get somebody else's revelation. You know, they'll get it, and I'll be like, oh, I got to get it like that. It's not like that. It's all what he shows me. And how I can receive it is how he's given it to me. And that was such a rest when I realized that I don't need your revelation. I don't need your revelation. I just had to agree with the word. And then I have my own revelation.
That's right.
And I'm just so thankful for that. And I just had something that came across my phone, and no, Deacon, I don't want to preach. But I just have something that I want to say. It came across my phone. I don't know what book it is or whatever, but it says, Brother Branham, he said, here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. And then it was just like, oh my gosh, those in the bride do only his will.
That's right.
No one can make them do otherwise. They have, thus say the Lord, or they keep still.
That's right.
They know that it is has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. I was like, hallelujah.
Amen.
I didn't shout, I didn't scream. But that sensation of just being able to recognize it and know that he's talking to me,
That's right.
It was worth it all. And I was like, oh my gosh, a revelation comes without any emotion.
That's right.
But that stimulation of being able to recognize that he's talking to you. Yes, it does. And I'm just so thankful and praising God.
Amen. Sing page 66, What a Mighty God We Serve. It's key of G.
So it's funny that you said that, Sister Michelle, on the way up here. I was thinking, I've missed five services, and I am thankful. I'm thankful to be back, because some people don't get to come back. But I do have a praise report. My daughter went to the eye doctor today, and everything is fine, which that's what I knew it was going to be. But I don't want to take that lightly. Missed you all while I was gone.
Got even more enlightening when my mom was reading that quote. I kind of always was confused by that quote. I've heard that quote before, but it said, as God was in Mary.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it, Mary had Jesus, and there was no sensation. There was, God did all that. God was the egg. Right. God was the seed. God was all that. So when Jesus was coming forth through Mary, that was all God. There was no sensation. It was, you could say whatever you wanted about Mary, you could say this, all that, but she knew something was going on the inside that was 100% God. Had nobody else had anything to do with it. God's life was inside of her, and nobody had anything to do with it. You can say, I don't have it. You can say all this. You can say all that. That's fine. You can say, I'm not smart enough. You can say all these things. That's fine. But there's something on the inside of me that's happening that you had nothing to do with. I had nothing to do with. God did this. He revealed this to me, and it's on the inside of me, and there's nothing I can do but just let it out. You know, and I thought about that. On my goodness, you know, once you get the revelation of that man really had nothing to do with this. You know, and even when you think about the preaching just awakens what's in there. You know, the church world wants to get that preaching to put something in there and make something happen, but all it does is wake up what's already in there. It's a life that's already in there, just wakes it up, and it just responds to that. And that's, you know, even through the ages, and they talk about the, you know, the light that was going through the ages, the believer, regardless of the age, just responds to the word of God.
Right.
I respond to the word of God no matter what age. If you put me in Paul's age, I would respond to the word of God. If you put me in Irena's age, I will respond to the word of God. But what the job that I have to do, I need full word.
To have rapturing faith, I need the full word. Oh, I can hear in part, and I can rejoice in what Columba did. I can rejoice in what Martin did. But for my job, for the watering of my seed, I need the full word of God. And I look at that, and I go, my goodness. And that's why you can even say if the messenger would have lived long enough, they would have just followed in a word. They would have just stayed with the word the whole way through, because it was nothing that anybody had done. It was not of their work's sake. It was just something that God put on the inside of them. Right. And I thought, my goodness, we get it so balanced in here. We get it so down the road. You don't even, I think, you know, Pastor Moore, you've always said that you should take a filter. I think some of you should just take him up on it. Because you know, sometimes, you know, you hear people and you can just hear it. They don't even know how good they got it. You don't even know how balanced you got it. You don't even know how non-judgmental it is. You could come in here and say you missed five services. Nobody's counting it. I was just saying, praise God, my sister's back. Amen. My mom missed Sunday. I'm not counting it. I'm just saying, praise God, you made it back. I don't care whether you listen. I'm not keeping tabs. Whether you're listening in, I'm not keeping tabs on what you're wearing. I'm not keeping tabs on what your social media looks like. I just say, praise God that a believer made it back, because it's by the grace of God that I made it back. I'm not looking at your Facebook, your Instagram. I don't care. I say, what do you do when the word crosses your path? That's the only thing that I'm judging it by. But you can go to churches, even in the messages, and they'll go, well, what are you wearing? What are you doing? What is this? What is that? I don't care. Why? Because I know that all that can change. If you can put it on, you can take it off. If you can take it off, you can put it on. But if God puts something on the inside of you, there, it doesn't matter what state you find me in. If I made my bed in hell, he would still be there with me. He can't abandon me. You know, we get all this teaching. We got all this balance. We got all this revelation. But I'm looking at it and saying, my goodness, do you even know how good you got it? I mean, do you really know how good you got it? You come here on a Wednesday night and you expect to hear from God.
Amen.
I don't have a doubt in my mind that Brother Jeremiah is going to preach, thus saith the Lord. I don't have a doubt in my mind that Pastor Moore is going to preach, thus saith the Lord. I don't think there's a creed. I don't think there's some tradition. I don't come in here even thinking that I'm going to be a whooping boy. I don't come here thinking, oh, man, they're gonna get me now. I think if they're going to get me, praise God they get me. Praise God, God's talking to me. Praise God that he recognizes that I'm here. Praise God that he knows my name. There's a whole different way that we even look at things. Even how we pray. I had the ability to go to Brother Dwayne's house today, and we were just sitting there, and Brother Luke just blessed me. He said, bro, he was just saying the prayers that we pray. He said, I'm praying for Sister Hannah.
Yeah.
We're about to eat food. And that brother's praying the prayer that you get taught here. Amen. That means he's in a household where God has just got such perfect balance. God's got such preeminence. Amen. that it's not odd for him to say, can you pray? And he's like, well, what do you mean pray? There's people that don't even know what to pray for. They don't even know how to reach God. They don't even know how to touch God. They don't even know where God is. And we can see it in our kids. Amen. So if you can see it in your kids, Luke has been here for just how many years he's been on this earth? And you've been here for 20, 30 years, and you still don't know how to pray? Come on. Come on now. Come on. You still don't know how to believe? You still don't know how to trust? You still don't know how to give it all to God? My goodness, we're blessed. We're blessed beyond. I mean, you don't even know that when we pray for healings, we expect it to happen.
Amen. Yes.
We expect it Absolutely. To happen. Sister Renee's not shocked. She's not surprised that God moved. I expected God to move. You know, that's a difference. I'm just rejoicing. Because I'm looking across and I say, Lord, what are you going to do when you get that group? When you get Amen. That group, not just one person, but when you get that group that knows what it is, then the rapture can go. See, I'm seeing all these scriptures be fulfilled, and I'm praising God that I'm one of them. I thank God for it, because there's so many people that don't know what it is. And you're just walking through this age, and it's total darkness. This age is dark. The school is dark. The workplace is dark. It's a neurotic age. Sister Belinda, you asked about the mind. It's the mind age. Of course it's going to be neurotic. They're losing. They lost their mind.
Right.
But to come in here amongst sane believers and just be able to praise God for a second. Don't mind me. Just hold my mule. Just hold my mule.
Amen.
Just don't mind me. I'm just praising God. I just thank God for one more opportunity. Yes. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, yes.
I wanted to thank God. I was thinking about the question that you asked Sunday night about where'd you come from? You know, how'd you get here? And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, I was a tumbleweed. I was like a tumbleweed. I was a church hopper. I would just hop from church to church. I was searching for something.
Right.
There was something I was searching for. I mean, you know, I was in Jesus Only. I was in Holiness. I was in Pentecostal. I was in whatever church, you know. Yes. I was going to all of them, you know. Because I was searching for that. I was searching for something. Oh, yeah. Amen. And then I ran across Sister Dawn. Mm-hmm. And she, serpent seed caught me. That was what caught me. And, you know, it was like, that's nothing but the truth. Right. Nothing but the truth. And Brother Baker was my pastor for quite a while. And I tease Stephen all the time because I have a baptismal certificate from Brother Baker. Remember when he handed those out, you know? And so I tease Stephen all the time. I tell him, well, you don't have one. No. I have one. You know, I just kind of tease him. But, you know, I also wanted to thank God because God has touched my daughter. I know I talked to you, Sister Dawn, about the x-rays and everything that she had had. Well, God has touched that, has touched that situation. It's shrinking. The nodule is shrinking. So, you know, that's a good sign. It's a wonderful sign. And there's just been so many things within our lives that, you know, has been touched. I've seen God move. And, I want to thank God for that. I want to give him praise. I want to give him thanks for everything that he's done for me because he's done so much for me. And it's very exciting. And I'm like you, Brother Jay. It's like, you know, I was very nervous to get up here, and it's like, oh, my goodness, you know. My heart was felt like it's going to beat out of my chest. But, you know, I want to give him honor. I want to give him praise, amen. You know, for what he's done to me, because he brought me a long way. Amen. And I praise him for that. You know, while you're saying your prayers, just say one for a little granddaughter. She's pretty sick right now. I think she has, like, maybe just a little stomach bug or something. But just remember her because she's been really sick. But I just wanted to give him praise a little.
Amen. Amen.
I'm so glad to be back too. Amen. You know, I love this place. I love all of you. There's such a sweet spirit when we walked in, you know, and I know that, you know, not everybody would maybe knows, but, you know, Ted's mom's, you know, very ill, and she's got a couple weeks, they said. So we were there with her all weekend, and but, you know, it was just a blessing to be there and know that we're God in flesh to them. And we got there in time, I don't know, was it Sunday, for the priest to come and give, they said call in, him in to give the last rites or her last rites. And I'd never seen that before, you know, and they he did some different prayers. And I remembered he tried to get her to wake up. She's kind of a comatose, but she said, he said, Rosie, I absolve you of all your sins, and so you can go on to the other life, and something weird like that. But, you know, I sat there, you know, and we got right with him, you know, whenever they said something to repeat, you know, we got right with him, and, you know, his family was hanging on to that, you know, because they're devout Catholics, and, you know, that's all God gave them, and they were devout, that's and, right. You know, we got right with that, and, you know, they were teasing, because we stepped in at the last, and they're like, oh, he's here, and, you know, you get to be here, and the priest says, well, I hear you're the black sheep of the family, and so we just kind of laughed about it, and then his brother and sisters got a little embarrassed, you know, because they were, you know, telling on him, but, you know, I said, you don't even realize, I was thinking, I was so proud of Ted, you know, because he came down here and got God, you know, came down to Dayton, and, you know, little do they know, you know, what he's giving them, you know, and so, you know, just keep her and the family, you know, because like I said, you know, we're taking it day by day, and, you know, they're saying, you know, just a couple weeks, but, you know, they don't know, but anyways, you know, we're just there for them, and, you know, and to be a blessing, and, you know, it was kind of like a field trip, you know, because I don't know anything about Catholics, so, you know, but, you know, that was an experience, you know, and it was really sweet. I mean, they said the rosaries with her, I guess it's our sister-in-law, my sister-in-law, and she held her rosary, you know, and I said, God bless her, you know, it just really touched me because, you know, that's her way to God. She was a prayer warrior, you know, for many years, Rosie was a prayer warrior, and you know, I thought, God blesses her for that because that's all he gave her, you know, but she was so devout in it, you know, and it just touched my heart. So.
What a mighty God we serve.
Mm-hmm. Glad to be here. I'm glad to be the representation to my family. I understand where they sit. I understand everything about it. And I had a laugh when they said, "As a black sheep." I said, "I'm the best black sheep you ever got." And I said, "That black sheep's more important than you realize."
That's right.
I may not have what they have, and they've got a lot of things. They're better off in one sense, and in another sense they're not.
So that's right.
It's all right. They all live close to my mom and dad and all that. They did. And I live far away. And I was always late because of a lot of things that we had to deal with. It was a constant thing. But that's okay. I don't care if I'm the black sheep or not.
That's all right.
Truth will tell. When the time, I'm sending every one of them over as we go. I'm sending my dad over. I'm sending my mom over. I'll send my brother over. I'll send them all over there. And they will realize who I am. That I really actually helped them to get there. Because maybe you do understand, but they don't understand at all. And they think I am crazy, which is exactly. Because I came from the devout Catholic. That's all I did. I was Catholic. So when Nate was saying that, I never did go to a last rites. That's just something I never did because I never had anybody die in front of me. Never went through that. But all that stuff was pretty much the same is the same and the same is. It would be a good experience to go look at it in right. one sense because it is so dead as a hammer. I just say it's just like, okay. And it's kind of funny the priest was there, you know, the father. It's kind of interesting. And the first thing he said, oh, you're the black sheep. Yeah. I said, you're right. I am. And then everybody, no. I said, no, I am. Because, you know, as I look and say, the black sheep is the one that, a rarity.
Yeah, stands out.
I'm a rarity. And I said, I accept that. I accept that because, you know, there ain't many black sheep.
But that's right.
They stand out, so I must stand out. So thank God for this truth.
And Amen.
I can't express myself anymore. I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad to, and I hate to miss. Amen. And it's because you think, I don't know, it just, this is what, it's my life. It's just what, everything about me. And if I miss, I feel like I've cheated myself. But if you know what I mean. But I'm glad to be here. And things that we have to do, though. But, you know, I'm ready to hear the word.
You know, the pastor got up. I love our congregation. Amen. I love what we have here. This right. is beautiful. And, you know, it's like when a table is spread, you're home. Amen. And then if you don't get something to eat, it's your own fault. So I was sitting there. The pastor asked the other night. He said, you know, people, get up and tell us a little bit about where did God bring you from? And nobody say nothing, so I said a little something. But I got to thinking about that the other morning, and I said, I was just like that woman at the well. Jesus went out of his way to go and talk to her. And just like her, if you asked her what she wanted to be when she grow up, some would say a merchant, some may say a wife. Nobody would say, I want to be a prostitute. Something went wrong. And it's kind of like when you start falling down the stairs. Once you miss a step, it just keeps going. And then you find yourself at the bottom. And then you just find yourself there. And then you try to make the best out of it. I am so glad that God went out of his way. He knows where you are. He knows where to find you. And he went and found me. I was at the end of my rope. And I want to thank God for my pastor. God called him out of the world and to do what he had to do. And he said, go, oh, by the way, on your way out to Fairborn, stop by Bethesda Temple and get your wife. And you know what? I feel like Brother Branham did when he was in his 50s. He says, if you're ever going to get doing anything for God, you better get started. So the Lord has given me another year, praise the Lord. And I said, I want to get started serving God. All that I've done, I've been calling myself doing something since I was 17, and I don't feel like I've got started yet. And I've been married to this man for 37 years. And I said, I don't feel like I've got started yet. You know, I just look at Renee and different ones, and I know there's no comparison, how she loved Doug. And you know, Jesus asked one of the disciples one time, I know I got a lot to say, don't I? He said, do you love me? And then, you know, I start in the hours of the night, I start asking myself those deep questions. I said, do I love you? Do I really love you, Lord? Or do I just need you? Or do I just follow you because you're so good to me? I said, no. I really love the Lord. Can I have a G right quick? Just real quick. I ain't go. You know, there was a time I used to kind of sing. I can't kind of sing. I didn't give it up. Like a woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. You know what? I'm in the wrong key. But F. like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run, it never shall run dry. So fill my cup, Lord. I lift, I cannot sing in that key. That's all right. I'm asking the Lord to fill my cup. You get the idea.
Sunday night, the question was put out, where did you come from? How did you start your journey?
Amen.
I held back. But 17, 18 years old, yes, Catholic.
Okay.
There in Beaver Creek, so I'm not sure how, but started going to Mass by myself.
Okay.
So it's a personal journey, and then started working, and other people, you know, pray this prayer, and Baptist, had a taste of that. No. Met my husband at a job, and I'm here.
Amen. Amen.
That's all that matters.
Amen. 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 Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Sing, page 42, Think About His Love.
Amen.
And we'll get Brother Jeremiah up. Don't forget the announcements. We got Easter services coming up. It's April 1st and 2nd. It'll be 7 p.m. Saturday evening, and then 10 a.m. Sunday morning, and then food to follow. Yep, dinner to follow on Sunday morning.
Tomorrow at
7. Okay.
Kids practice tomorrow at 7.
And Doug and I leave that next day. April
3rd. April 3rd. All right. Think About His Love.
About His love. heads. Dear Lord, thank you for your great love. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Oh, thank you for that, for your love, mercy, and grace. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to get to your house, for revelation, for clear understanding, Lord, that even somebody in the world might call you a black sheep and have one meeting with it, but we can stand here and realize that we're a child of God, and we're the ones that when they see us, they see you. Oh, we appreciate that, and we ask that you be with Brother Ted and the family, Lord, and give them comfort and take good care of his mother there, and be with the bride around the world, and Sister Anna that got mentioned earlier, and Brother Trevor, touch their bodies. Be with each and every one of us, Lord, and as we approach the preaching, Lord, we always say it, I just was supplying the vessel, Lord, but have your way, preach to us, talk to us.
Yes.
Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You can be seated. Good to be back on a Wednesday night service. See everybody. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate what we have in a body to be in fellowship with, to support and help one another, edify one another in love. Do that with the word, you know, but we can also do that by helping each other in our daily lives. So I'm thinking about your Brother Ted and praying for your mom, and I'm glad we know who we are, where we're going, where they're going. You can tell he's not too worried as far as that goes. So that's a good revelation to have. And got some things coming up here with Easter and everything, looking forward to it. And I know we all say it. I've been enjoying Bible study. You know, just the way, it's different in the sense that we really just slow down and maybe we go ahead and read the whole scripture. We go ahead and read the whole quote. We ask questions that we haven't always asked. And, you know, even my wife this week, you know, because we were talking about the church ages and where we came from, and you were talking about the Nazarene church and how it was kind of in the Wesleyan age. You know, it's just funny to watch how you study this thing. And she was saying, there's a Nazarene church. And, you know, you start connecting the dots like, oh, they're kind of like the Wesleyans and things like that. So just little things that you never think about, you know, you talk about. So I'm really enjoying it. We just have such a strong, a lot of information on the same revelation is the way to put it. And I appreciate that and everything that we do get here. So Brother Moore always asks us if we're enjoying Bible studies. I think it's going to be hard to ever hear say we're not. And, you know, just going back and reading church ages and the different chapters, it's been a blessing. We've been talking about it, right? And so it's good. Good all the way around, at least in my opinion. It's a personal revelation. So that's how I personally feel about it and everything. And glad to be here getting ready. Kids are on spring break. Take a little trip here and that means Brother James, Lord willing, unless somebody else visits, he'll have some work to do on Wednesdays at least, because I won't be here next Wednesday. So I thought I'd be a good brother and try to share the load this week. And we tease each other a little bit. He knows why he's laughing over there, but but it's good to be here. And I am excited about the word. You know, just doing what we heard Sunday, the baptism for your day, that's an exciting topic. Yes. Be able to see your day and its message and see the light for the hour, that's the greatest thing that happened to you. Yes. And, you know, I don't have we say this all the time. We know there's nothing new under the sun, but when I give you my title tonight, it's just recognizing your day and its message. You know, we think about it, like, we've heard that, we've preached on it for so many times, but it never gets old to me. And, you know, I have, when you study, you write scripture down, and most of the time you don't use all of them, and the one you think you're going to start with, sometimes you don't start with, and so all the way up to the service, like, Lord, which scripture am I going to start with? And we are going to start in St. John 4, but what's so funny about that is I almost wasn't going to do that, and then here Sister Moore gets up and references that woman at the well. So we're going to talk about her a little bit first. Okay. And, you know, that scripture is used in so many ways and so many times, but I love it. Because, Brother Destin, when I read this story about this little woman at the well, I can see myself in there so much. And then it gets me excited. It turns me on. That stimulation by revelation that you were talking about, Sister Michelle, that's real.
Yes.
Now, yeah, it's not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. We know that, and that's what you were saying. But that's real. When you get sometimes get a revelation, it gets you excited. You know, it should get you excited. It should turn you on. That's what it did to this little woman. And see, if I ain't careful, I'll just start preaching about her. So I better read. Let's go to St. John, the fourth chapter, at least to get one scripture in. Let may the Lord have his way. Amen. We know he's the one that's got to do it. So St. John, the fourth chapter, and I'm just going to go ahead and start at verse 1. When wherefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. He had a need to go by there. He was going after somebody. He was going after one of the predestinated seeds of God. Oh, that right there is enough to preach on if I just stop right there. That God had foreknowledge. He saw that you were going to amen his word. He put a little predestinated seed in you. And then he come around and said, no man will be able to pluck you out of my hands. I will lose none. So it doesn't matter where he has to come and find you. Oh, that gets me excited. I don't care if he meets you in a grocery store and you work together. He'll come and get you. I don't care if he meets you in a friend. He'll come and get you. But he's going to have needs to come by and find you. Maybe it was in a Nazarene church. Maybe it was in no church. Maybe it was in school. Maybe it was at your job. Maybe it was in a bad place. But all I know is he's going to come and find his predestinated seed. Oh, that gets me excited. Because he said, I won't lose any. He couldn't lose me, Brother Moore. He had it all in his mind. That's what makes him so great, is that he has foreknowledge. And no matter how much Satan would like to kill you, and like to murder you, and like to stop you. Oh, this is so simple, but that's what's so great about it. The devil couldn't even touch you. We use him all the time. He tried to go after Moses, and God set him right in front of Pharaoh, and he still couldn't touch him. He went after Jesus. He couldn't find him. Because, you know, part of the problem was they never would have dreamed he would have been born in a barn. But God has a way to protect his seed. And he says, there ain't nothing going to happen to them. You won't be able to abort them. They won't live so bad I can't find them. I'm going after mine, and I won't lose a one. Oh, that makes me feel a little better than when I walked in here. Starting to feel better now. I've been feeling good the whole service. But you start talking like this, this gets me even feeling really good. See, the thing about the woman at the well for me, though we talk about her so much, I like to reference her because it blacks the devil's eye every time. Oh, because it makes it too simple. Because we're going to read about her here. She wasn't that good. Not in man's eyes. She didn't have the clean, holy life. Not in man's eyes. She couldn't even go draw water with the rest of the virgins. So she was inside. She was in a pretty bad condition. But that didn't stop Jesus. He said, I got needs to go down and get somebody that belongs to me. Wait, Jesus, she's had five husbands. She's living with the one that's not even hers. I have need to go by. Jesus, wait a minute. She can't even draw water with the virgins. I have need to go by Samaria. Oh, Jeremiah, I saw you do this. I saw you do that. But that didn't stop him coming after me. Oh, don't let the devil lie to you. You're not good enough. It don't take you being good enough. Jesus had to pay it off for you anyhow. What he's looking for is somebody that can recognize him when he introduces himself to him. Amen. That's the problem with the Pharisees and Sadducees. He was around them quite often, but they didn't recognize who he was. Oh, but this little woman, it didn't take too long. He just started talking. Put a little word out there. See, that's what he does. He gives you a little word test. Yeah, that's how Jesus introduces himself. He starts speaking a little bit of word. And what happens to a believer, Brother Deskins, is they hear that word and say, that sounds right. That makes sense. Oh, this is more than a story. Let me slow down for a minute. Let me make this real personal to you tonight. Let me tell you tonight, maybe you don't think you have a new birth. Let me make it personal for you for a minute. Jesus is here tonight. He's in his body. He's preaching the word.
Yeah, that was Jesus back here, but Jesus is here right now talking to you tonight. Introducing himself right now to you. Oh, this gets me excited. Oh, whew. That's how real this thing. Jesus is here right now talking to you. You got a chance to be like the little woman at the well and say, I hear from Jesus right now. And I'm here to tell you, let me slow down a little bit. That little woman might have been a bad person. That little woman might have been in a bad condition. But when Jesus started putting word out there, she heard that word and said, that's the truth. It made sense to her. It clicked to her. I'm going to use whatever word I can do to make this easy for you. It went from, I don't know who I am, to, wait a minute, this is what we've been talking about. It became a clear understanding for her. Oh my God, standing right there before her. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, God's standing right before you. He's talking to you. And if you can understand what I'm telling you tonight, if you can say amen to what I'm saying to you right now, you're like the little woman at the well. You amen this. I'm here to tell you it's that easy to get the new birth. Oh my. Your life can change right now. It can change at a drop of a hat. If you amen my word, you can stand up right now and say, I've been born again. Oh, that gets me excited. Oh, that gets me excited. Oh, remember this day. I got born again on the little woman at the well. When the word made flesh was standing right before me, saying, I'm talking to you face to face. And it made sense to me. And I have never been the same. That's how real it can be to you. Oh, that's how real it is. You don't have to wait. You don't have to be a show. You don't have to go, you come to the altar. You don't have to be some big, you get up and down and shout. You don't have to run the aisles right now. Just sit there and say, oh, he's talking to me. And it's nothing but the truth. Oh, that gets me excited. See what that does to me? Makes me want to run. Makes me want to shout. Makes me want to dance. Oh, that's how it really is. That's how easy the new birth is. It's so easy, but it's impossible for some. For that little woman, she's like, I perceive you're a prophet. And when the Messiah comes, he's supposed to do these things. He'll start talking about the word. I'm he. And then he told her a little bit about herself. And she went away never the same, Brother Moore. Never the same. Oh, that's a real story in the Bible that happened about 2,000 years ago. And that's a good story. But the real reason why I'm excited about that story, it's happened right here. And you got to be able to say that for yourself. It's got to happen right there. And it has happened to you whenever it's happened to you, but it can happen to you right now. Oh, I'm glad. Sometimes it's good to go over these things. Yes. Brother Destin's had his new birth for a long time. He's not been worried about his new birth for a long time. Brother Moore hasn't been worried about his new birth for a long time. Right. But if you're newer and you're worried about what's a new birth, it's just a clear understanding of the Word of God. Amen. Oh, it's that simple. Oh, I'm glad Brother Branham made it that simple. I'm glad Brother Childers made it that simple. I'm glad Brother Moore made it that simple. So that I can stand here before you tonight and make it that simple. The new birth is just a clear understanding of the Word of God. It's not that you even promise to keep a code of rules. Don't even let the devil scare you with that. Oh, I'm going to rebuke him pretty good. God will change you when he wants to change you. You can get a new birth out tonight and walk out of here and do the same bad thing you did yesterday and still have the new birth. The new birth ain't because you live good. The new birth is because you got a clear understanding. That's what the new birth is. The rest will take care of itself. You get a new birth, there probably is a good chance one day you will kneel down and pray. There's a good chance one day you will get up and testify. One day you are going to drop some things. But that's not the new birth. Those are just results and things that happen after you get the new birth. But the new birth is just a clear understanding. of the Word of God. Well, if I give my life to God, I'm just going to have to do too many things I just don't know if I can do. This is a scarecrow of the devil. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My load is light. My burden's easy. Learn of me. He'll take care of you. Yeah, I know. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a payment to this and it costs, but I'm telling you, He takes care of you. He changed you. It's on His time. Don't let the devil say, oh, I'm not good enough. I don't know if I can take this new birth. It doesn't require how good you are. This requires a clear understanding of the Word of God. Oh, let me read. That was only through verse 4, people. I told you I tried. It's good to be able to have a good time with the Word. This is real. This is real. Because what you really need to do is put yourself in this story. In the present tense. That's the only way it really becomes real and exciting to you anyhow. You can read the Old Testament stories, but until you can see yourself in them, they're not going to excite you as much. You read anything in here, you got to be able to see yourself in it. So that's verse 4. He had must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which he called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on a well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. You know, we've talked about that before. If this woman didn't have a great reputation, Jesus probably knew his disciples wouldn't understand it. Go buy some meat in the store. I got some work to do. I don't give you around, you're going to put too much doubt on this situation. Let's go get some food. And then he said, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. That's a lot like us, isn't it? Before we get quickened, we have all the reasons why we can't be. It's not. I'm Samaritan, you're a Jew. Or I was raised Catholic, and you're not Catholic. We give God so many reasons. She's just like the rest of us. All of the excuses. I don't live good enough, or I've never went to church. How could I be born again? Or I've only been Catholic. What are you talking about, a prophet? It's just like the little woman. Jesus, I'm Samaritan. You're a Jew. We can't talk. Didn't stop Jesus. Jesus answered unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She's still a little natural, still a little carnal for a minute. It's just like us a little bit, right? Carnal for a while. Full of creeds, full of dogmas. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Isn't speaking in tongues the evidence of the Holy Ghost? What do you mean I need to get born again? I've been going to church my whole life. I had a little coal shed experience. Those are things that we throw at him. Jesus keeps talking to us a little bit. He's like, I'll get through. I'm going to get through. Because that's what she just gave. She gave her church history to him. She knew Jacob. She knew he was a father. Jesus answered unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. Now this woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now she started changing the conversation a little bit. Say, wait a minute now. Let me stop being as carnal. I really will take some water. If I ain't never going to thirst again, I want some water like that. Jesus said unto her, and now he knew right where he's going. Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered, I have no husband. He started showing that messianic sign. He started discerning. He knew how to get to her. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. You didn't lie, woman? And he started discerning her. Now listen to what she said. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She started recognizing who he was. Talking about recognizing your day's mission, I'm going to keep reading here. But she recognized the very God of the present tense hour standing in front of her just like that. And that's what it takes to get the new birth for your day and its hour. And you know, we talk about them all the time. Churchy people, Sadducees, Pharisees, people that lived the life, people that knew the scrolls, people that were good people, not altogether bad people. That same Jesus would talk to them, and they had no recognition of who he was. Amen. I've always thought about these guys like that. I thought, here they knew the scroll so well, and the scroll said the virgin shall conceive, and when Jesus told them and said, I have no father or mother, they wouldn't believe him. Thought, you are crazy, went right over their head. And these guys memorized Isaiah's scroll, where he said a virgin shall conceive. Yeah. But no matter how much God talked to them, stood right in front of them, performed miracles in front of them, fed them the truth, matched the scripture, gave him word upon word, they ended up crucifying him. That's a bad place to be. But here's a little woman, and we're going to read more about her, because she says more after this, that didn't live so good, had to draw water at a different hour because she couldn't draw with the virgins. Five husbands, living with a sixth that's not even hers. Here's the same Jesus standing in front of her, Brother Deskins. And she said, I perceive thou art a prophet. Oh, that's a good thing to be able to do. That's to be able to pick up God, to be able to amen his word, to see him around you in present tense. You say, what are you trying to say? Well, Brother Moore said at Sunday, the baptism of the hour, every age God moved. God talked. Amen. Yeah, there might have been a certain amount of light, but in that light, God could quicken to you. Amen. And in every age, the true believers heard that word, yes, saw that light, and walked in that light. They recognized God in the hour that they were living. Amen. They recognized their day and its message. Amen. In this hour, if all the woman kept doing was referencing Jacob and all the forefathers, she would have been out of the day in the past history hour and wouldn't have been recognizing God standing right before her. But the very God, Jesus, and human word made flesh standing right before her, she said, I perceive you are a prophet. She recognized her day and its message. That's what the baptism of the hour is really about. Recognizing the word for your day, for your hour. I loved how you brought that out, Brother Moore. Over there, Paul said, what baptism have you been baptized under? Uh-huh. Been baptized under John. That was good for a season. That was good when John the Baptist was here and Jesus wasn't here. But when Jesus was on the scene, it was no longer for John's baptism. It was time to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Well, that's just one example. When it was Luther's day, and he said, the just shall live by faith, that was the baptism of that day. That was the word for that day. That's the word you recognized in that day to get your new birth. But you know what? When Wesley stepped on the scene, you know what a real believer did? They heard more light. They amen that light. And they recognized their day and its message. You know what Brother Branham taught us, the Bible taught us? If you didn't move forward and accept this message, you weren't a real believer. And you denominated and you died right there. Because you realize Luther never created a denomination. He just preached the word. But Luther died and time went on, and all these followers of Luther that weren't real true believers denominated around Luther. And though Wesley came, they didn't move forward with Wesley, showing they weren't real believers. Because a real believer has something about them that once they're born again, that's the life of God in their manifesting. Amen. Or if that predestined, they see that's just a dormant life of God. Right. And the thing about God is he does not deny himself. And he and his word is one. So when the word comes across the scene, the God in you have to, automatically says, amen. It's just in it to do it. And so if you hear more light and you don't say amen, that would mean you're not really a believer in the first place. So Luther's age denominated. Now, you know, now, just want to continue to keep this simple. There were people in that age that believed everything Luther preached, died in that age, got true born-again experience for that age, and are part of the bride of Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to say is people that were born in 1855, that Wesley's message was on the scene, and stayed with Luther's message only, and in that denomination, they didn't follow the light. They didn't recognize their day and its message. They didn't pick it up. They like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You have to recognize your day and its message. That's all. And I always like to throw this little nugget in, because Brother Moore always throws this little nugget in. It doesn't mean that you got to understand every scripture, every verse. You got to leave every Bible study and memorize everything we talked about. It just takes one clear understanding. I already explained a new birth to you tonight. The word of God is crossing your path. It takes that one revelation, period, to give you a new birth. You stick around long enough, you'll get more information and build upon that one revelation and start getting more understanding. And we want to, because that's how we whip the devil. But as far as the new birth goes, it just takes that one revelation. Amen. That happens in your day and its hour. Recognizing your day and its message. Not hard. Yet for some, it's impossible. Now think about that. I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and these say in Jerusalem, is this place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know what, not what, we know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You go on and read that story. She goes back in her town and says, come see a man that tells me all things I have done. She had recognized her day and its message. Now that scripture took longer than I meant. That's okay. That's how long God wanted it to take. Because we'll stop when he wants to stop. But I want to say some things. I was thinking this week, thinking about this message. We've said these things over the past, but I was just really thinking about it. I'll bring some things to your memory. God at this church has always pointed us to our day and its message. Now, I mean, you want to go to Brother Branham, because I was thinking about this week. You read Brother Branham, especially in his later ministry, but you're really reading through all his ministry. But in that later ministry, he is always talking Malachi 4, Revelations 10, Luke 17, 30, St. John 14 and 12. That was his main themes. Yeah, he would read some things, but normally a lot of messages. Malachi 4, Revelations 10, St. John 14, 12, Luke 17 and 30. Always trying to point us to our day and its message. Because he knows that's what it's meant. That's what it's supposed to be. Jesus didn't need to come and tell us to build an ark. Jesus didn't come and lead us out of Egypt like Moses. Those messages had been done. If he'd come and tried to bring down a brass serpent and act like that was going to get the job done, it wouldn't have worked. Jesus had to do what he was called for his hour. It's always worked that way in every age. And Brother Children was still here. We always laugh about it. We'd preach some messages for a while, and he would even enjoy the message. But you know what he'd do every once in a while? Those are some good messages, but we need to remember Revelation 10. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. We'd preach for a while. He'd enjoy it. You know, we haven't talked about Revelation 10 for a while. 10 and 7. Pointing us to our day and his message. I know we believe in Malachi 4, but don't just stay there. You got to get over here in the hidden mysteries. We don't just stop at restoration. You got to get over to Revelation 10. Everything comes out of Revelation 10. Always pointing us to our day and his message. Brother Moore here, what's he did? He said, don't just stop at 7. Get to 8 through 11. You're going to prophesy again. And there's only one thing on our plate. Yes. Always pointing us to our message. What's his theme? He's not wrong. We believe what Luther preached. We believe what Wesley preached. We believe the restoration of the gifts. We believe what Malachi 4 preached. We believe Brother Branham had to come. But we got to recognize your job, your day, your message, the light of the hour. Because that's the only thing God's really trying to do right now. He's already fulfilled justification for us. He's already fulfilled sanctification for us. We believe it. We reference it. But if that's all we preach, we wouldn't be in our day in this message. But we are at the rapture time. It's time to go up. The body's been built. Got to recognize your day and its message. And that's what we've done at this church. And people sometimes think we're crazy, but I think we're right in the Word. Right where we're supposed to be. Because the Bible teaches you, you got to be right in your day and its message. Brother Branham, when he preached recognizing your day and its message, the scripture he used was Hosea 6 chapter. Let me read it. I'll just point some things out to you. He had just preached the Feast of the Trumpets before that message, roughly. And because he had just preached the Feast of the Trumpets, and he ended up teaching the trumpets before the Jews, he was still thinking about them just a little bit. But here's what I love about Brother Branham. He didn't just preach to Jews and stay on Jews. He knew that wasn't his job. He just pointed a few things out to us. In that same message, he ended up the rest of it just about the bride. But let me read this. Hosea, the 6th chapter. And I'll just read the first two verses, though he read all the way through. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now, I'm still going to paraphrase this. I'm going to tell you what Brother Branham said about it. Then it's going to make you excited. This is recognizing your day in this message. Brother Branham says, now, notice carefully. After 2 days, now that didn't mean two 24-hour days, because that would have happened way back yonder many hundreds of years ago. See, it meant 2 days with the Lord after 2,000 years. Now, you know how long it's been since that time. It's been 2,700 years since that, because in Hosea, it was B.C. 780, and it's 1964, see? It's been something over 2,700 years ago. And he said after 2 days and the third day, he will revive us again and give us life in his sight. There is your trumpets coming in. Because that prophecy was for the Jews. God blinded Israel for our sake. He says they got scattered. They needed to return to him. After 2 days, he would do this, and the third day, he would revive him. Well, the third day is almost over, people.
Yes.
He's going to go back to him.
Amen.
And this prophecy is going to be fulfilled.
Amen.
Now, I want to jump down here then. If I can find this here. He talks about them being scattered. He talked about the 6 trumpets going to them. And after 2 days and the third days, we'll be gathered again and receive life in sight. Do you see the promise? The hour perfectly wrote on the wall. We see where we are living. Now the homeland waiting for the Feast of the Trumpets. Everything is positionally placed. Talking about those Jews. You see the hour we're living in. Now listen to what he says next. As a minister of the gospel, I can't see one thing left but the going of the bride.
Amen.
Oh, that gets me excited, Brother James.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Branham used the Jews as a timepiece. He says that's God's time clock. It always has been. He used that prophecy saying, on the 2 days we'll do this, third day I'll do this. And he was trying to show us the third day's about over.
Amen.
And God can't go to them until he's done with us. And right did he say right after it, I can't see anything left but the going of the bride.
Amen.
That's why recognizing your day and message, it really is awesome. It's so important because it lets you know where you're at, where you're going, what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Oh, Brother Branham has said it in a few different places. There's nothing left but the rapture, people. We're not going to disrupt any scripture. You don't have to do this or do that. Do this. Just get the rapture going, and we'll get out of here so that God can go fulfill this prophecy.
Amen.
Oh, that gets me excited, Brother Moore. I've recognized my day in this message. I've seen that the third day is almost over. It can't be much longer now. I recognize he's built this body. It's already been formed. It's completed. I'm not still trying to build it. All seven ages have happened. Every name's been revealed. We're standing on our feet. We've made ourselves ready. We're married to him. Oh, it's time to go home now. Oh, I'll happily do a little work down here, meet some foolish virgin, enjoy my time with the revelation I have. I'm enjoying what I got. But it gets me so much joy to know I'm at the end of time of all things, that soon and very soon I'll be going home. Because I can't be here during the Great Tribulation when he's dealing with those Jews. I got to be in the palace. That's my next place I'm going to be. I'm going to change this body and get out of here. My day in this message is not just justification, sanctification, restoration of the gifts. No. It's the hidden mysteries. It's the rapturing time. That's it's right. Time to go home.
Amen.
You know, what it was in Luther's day and Wesley's day was there was only so much light available in that day. So they preached all the truth and all the light they had that God made available in that day. And so what happened, there were still some creeds and dogmas mixed in there. And inside those creeds and dogmas, the messages we were preaching made people think, I got to work my way into heaven. I got to earn my way into heaven. I got to have some sensation or I got some altar call. It was not. That was never the truth. That was just creeds and dogmas that was mixed in with the truth. So it's not just because 1963 happened that all of a sudden God changed it. You had to work to heaven. And now you don't. You never had to work yourself into heaven. They just didn't understand that. But in this day and hour, with the full word understanding, Brother Moore, we understand you can't live good enough to make it, bad enough to miss it. Yeah, I want to live for him, but it ain't by my works. It's by his grace. He's paid it all. He foreknew me. He predestinated me. He transferred my name before the foundation of the world. There's no condemnation on me. I could go on and on and on. Thank God for that revelation.
Amen.
But because of the hour I'm in, I said all that to say this. I recognize it's rapturing time.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a full word understanding now.
Yeah.
And I treat people a little differently than they did in Luther's day.
Amen.
I preach to people a little differently than they did in Wesley's day.
Amen.
I tell some people not to even come to church.
Right.
Oh, my. I tell some people they can go because they love the right thing.
Wow.
I tell some people they're going to be there because they treated me good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a full word understanding.
Yeah.
When you realize it's rapturing time, you realize there ain't much time to do a whole lot of things. I ain't got to try to pass out a bunch of books and save a bunch of souls. Just come and get with me for just a little bit and let's go home.
Amen.
That's the hour I'm in. Sure, if we live long enough, read some books. If we live long enough, pray some prayers. We live long enough understanding who Brother Branham was. We live long enough, get some more understanding of this word.
Amen.
I believe in every bit of that.
Amen.
I ain't taking that away.
Amen.
I'm just saying people are still trying to do all the work they did in the other age.
Right.
And God has given me a full word understanding. And I realize the hour I'm in, I realize it's time to go home.
Amen.
Brother Branham even said, we ain't got time to break these things up.
That's right.
He knew it was a late hour. What's my point? I'm just saying when you're in the hour we're in and recognize your dance message, it's not all the laws and creeds and dogmas we used to have. We recognize Jesus really did pay it all. You don't come by laws and rituals and orders. You come by predestination.
Amen.
So we deal with people so freely. Freely as we receive, we'd be trying to give.
Right.
And we recognize not everybody's going. But as many as I can give it to, I want to give it to.
Amen.
And give it to is just a representation that's manifesting this day. But they already had it in God's mind from the foundation of the world anyhow.
That's right.
It's just manifesting this hour. You met the right thing. You treated God right. Oh, it gets me excited. But that happens because we know our day in this message. We can look back and see the entire body. We can see all the classes of people. That's what we have in this hour. The fullness of the word, Brother Moore. Now, you said that. I'm going to take a few more minutes to get to the last thing I want to get to. Now, Brother Moore was preaching Sunday, and I'll give you a little backstory here. I got excited in that front row, and you know, sometimes we stand up and manifest that excitement, sometimes it just burns inside you.
Yes.
I got excited, and I'm going to tell you a story. And it won't mean as much to you as it does to me, but it got me excited. Many of you know my grandpa, and he was a good man, and he was a believer, and he's in heaven now, and he recognized his day and his message. But he was a man that liked to think about numbers a lot. He'd play with numbers, and sometimes he'd call you up, and he'd give you some numbers, and it just made all kinds of sense. It was good. It was simple. Yeah, amen it. Sometimes he'd throw some numbers at you. It's complicated. I ain't talking bad about him. He's my grandpa. I love the man. I think about him more now he's gone than I did when he was alive. And that's how it works, right? Great man. Good to all mankind. Knew how to treat people, right? Believed in the prophet. Believed the message of the hour. But sometimes he would struggle. As much as he would get numbers right, he would struggle with numbers. But for me, just being a kind of a number guy, listening to Brother Moore talking about the fours and the threes, I sat there Sunday. I thought, Grandpa, don't worry about those numbers anymore. Oh, we got them right now. Oh, we don't have to struggle with what they mean anymore. I know what the threes mean. I know what the fours mean. I know what the fives mean. I know what the sevens mean. And if you don't worry about it. It's all taken care of. The point being, sometimes he would get some off, but don't worry about it, Grandpa. We got it exactly where we need to be. We're over here in the eighth day anyhow, where there's no such things as threes, fours, and fives, and sevens. Now you see why I was excited. I was about ready to have church. I thought, it's time to get out of here. All this stuff's over. All this struggling's over. All these numbers that we struggle with is over. The fourth person's here now. That fourth step has happened. You say, what do you mean, Jeremiah? Well, you missed the last few surgeries. You're a little bit behind, but you're going to have to catch up quick. One, two, three, four. God used those ages to take the seed in. To you know, and I like how God's so great. He didn't say it fully died, really. He just took it all the way down. Life was still there, people. And he said, if four took it in, it'd take four to get it out. Oh, that gets me excited. So real quick, Luther, justification was one. Wesley and sanctification was two. Restoration of the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that age was three. But he himself, the fullness of the word, the fourth person was born in the manifestation in this day and hour. Now you got to give me at least 15 minutes here because this is too good not to share with you. All right? Now we all remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's three. Now, if you got, I did this with my kids one time because this is a good story. I recommend you read Daniel, the sixth chapter. Read that story. You'll enjoy that story. Oh, the king had wanted people to bow to his idols. And oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't do it, Brother Deskins. He wouldn't do it. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, said, well, we're going to see whose God's real then. And those boys said, I don't care if they don't save me, my God's still real. Even if you can burn me, he's still real. He said, it don't matter, our God's real, whether I live or I die, I ain't bowing to your idol, my God's real. Amen. Now think about it. Luther didn't bow to their idols, no. Wesley didn't bow to their idols, no. Pentecost and Restoration of the Gifts didn't bow to their idols. No. We didn't serve the Catholic God and all their images and things. They stayed with the word that they had. But here's so great, that king was so angry at them, he said, turn that furnace up seven times hotter than you can even turn it up. Now, you guys know what seven times hotter means, I know. Down here at the end, it thundered in each age one time. But down here, it thundered seven times in a row. It was seven times hotter. But anyhow, those boys in there, Brother James, the people that threw them in got burnt and killed. It says it was so hot it killed the people that threw them in. But the king went and looked in there after Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and he was confused, and he's still a little angry. He said, wait a minute. How many people did we put in there? Let's count it. They said three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why do I see four? And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Oh, my. That's where we are, people. We've had three. But the fourth is on the scene. The one that can give life. The one that protects you. Yeah, he's been giving life all ages, but I'm talking about in his fullness. He's here in his fullness, the life giver. God himself, Son of Man. We get the capstone has come down. The fourth step is here. We're not trying to get to the threes anymore. The fourth man's here now. Life itself's here. Oh, we're alive, standing on our feet. Oh, if you read Christ in the Mystery, Brother Bram said the rapture, just get it, Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost was all part of it. Right. But it took the capstone coming down to give life to the body. Amen. Oh, that's where we are. And just because I like having phone numbers and honor Grandpa, how many letters does life have in it? Four. Do you think that's an accident by God? It's not an accident by God. God makes all these things work. That's where we are. Oh, we've had our three, but we're in the fourth. And Brother Branham, I got two good quotes. I don't know which one to read, but I'm going to just get you excited. I'll read them both then. Brother Branham, and there's a man here that can turn on the light. Now listen to this, people. This is encouraging. This encouraged me this week. When the persecution comes, don't get scared. There is a light. Said he could catch his people away. She'll not go through the tribulation. She'll never do it. He said she wouldn't. She'll be caught away. How are they going to do it, Brother Branham? Looks awful dark. No matter how dark it gets. It's pretty dark in that age, isn't it? We talked about that Sunday night. No matter how dark it gets, you can't see your hand before you just remember there is a man here that can turn on the light. He'll rapture the church. You say, well, yeah. Now this is what he says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was right up in the fiery furnace, but there's a man there who could turn on the air, yes. That rushing mighty wind come down on the day of Pentecost, he turned it on again and fanned all the breeze, all the way, all the fire. There was a man there, he's called the fourth man. See, Brother Brandon knew his numbers. He said, there's one here today, and he's the only one. He's got the light switch in his hand. He was sat in the region of the shadow of death, and a great light sprung up. Don't reject it. Receive it in the name of the Lord. All Brother Branham was saying, we're in the Son of Man age. The Word made flesh is on the scene again. When he's here, he's in the bride, people. Don't be thinking I'm saying Jesus is here. It's not Jesus the man. He's in here. He's here with the bride. We're the fourth man. We're the fourth step. We're the capstone to the body. God's here, speaking the Word, turning on the light. We know our day in this message. We're in that fourth step. We don't have to go through the process anymore. And just as you asked me to read it, Brother Branham said, and remembering the Lord, we could call another group, or at least I'd say three. They was called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they had took their stand for God, remembering that he keeps his promise. How that in this great hour, because of their stand, even their own brother, many of them had turned off into the world. But they were going to stand regardless. And they took a stand for God. And when the furnace was hot, seven times hotter than it ever was before, and they was pushing to the furnace, and they can certainly remember that fourth man that was in there with them, that kept all the heat and the death away from them. There is something about that fourth man. Might talk about him a while, how that he was the only one that could make that possible. There was no other person could do it but the fourth man. He was the one that provided life in the jaws of death. Amen. He kept the fires ablaze back. He preserved them. Now, just to keep it straight, God worked all the way down through the ages. He was preserving life all the way down through the ages. What we're talking about this fourth step is instead of just having part light, we got the full Word of God on the scene. That's what we're talking about, that fourth step. All the Word's here. All of God in His fullness is here. Walking and talking and living in the bride of Jesus Christ, that Word made flesh. You say, what's that got to do with your title, recognizing your day's message? It has everything to do with it. Because we're not here in Luther's age in step one or step two, step three. We're in the bride age. The capstone to the body. They without us cannot be made perfect. And no matter how much Brother Moore tried on Sunday and how much I tried tonight, Ezekiel 37 ain't going to get enough time. But those four steps of sinew and flesh and skin and what's the fourth? Breath, life. That's where we are. Adam got the breath of life and he became a living soul. Oh, that's exciting, people. These numbers run. That's why I thought, Grandpa, don't worry about numbers anymore. We got them right. He's got them right now. We got it all right now. Oh, what it is, Grandpa, it's time to just go home now. We ain't got to build seven. We ain't got to do threes. We ain't got to do the steps. We're here. We've arrived. Word made flesh standing right before you, just like he was at the woman at the well.
That's right.
You can get a new birth just like that. Get the Word just like that. It's available to you in its fullness.
Amen.
You can become part of it and start manifesting it right now. We have been doing it for a while. Oh, recognizing your day in this message is the new birth. That's what the baptism of your day is about. It's recognizing the word, the light for your day in this hour. It becoming clear to you. God quicken it to you. You get a clear understanding. It's a personal revelation of Jesus Christ to new you. What's a new birth, Brother Bram? Not that you promised to keep code of rules or shook the pastor's hands or did this or did that. It's just a personal revelation. God revealed to you one little revelation. Made himself real to you. And you said, amen, like the little woman at the well. Changes your nature. Never be the same. You're ready for the journey. Oh, soon and very soon, we're going to go see the King. Everything. There's so many prophecies here. It points us to end time. We know it's the end time. We know it by revelation now. It's time to get out of here, people. Until then, I'm going to enjoy what I got. I'm like Brother Deskins. I'm going to enjoy sharing this thing, handing it out, knowing who I am. I'm going to go through life. I'm only going to pass this way one time. I'm going to enjoy every bit of it. I'm getting ready to take a little trip. I'm going to enjoy every bit of it. And I'll recognize in the middle of it, I'll enjoy the beach or whatever I'm doing. But I'm going to meet some people too. And right in the midst of enjoying the natural side of this, I'll be really about my real job, about the Father's business. I'm going to enjoy this thing. I'm just glad I recognize our day's message. We know where we are. We know where we're standing. Soon and very soon, we're going to get out of here. Come on, Pastor Moore. God bless you.
Recognize your day and its message. And the key word is your day. It's not even enough just to recognize a day. I mean, a lot of people know that Jesus came. And they all know about him being over there in the grave, in the tomb, in the Calvary. And they know all about the barn and being born in a manger. And they know all about that. But that's not our day. It's good to know that. That's a part of it. We're not discounting it and saying that it's not important. But it's done its job. And same with Luther, same with Wesley, same with Pentecost, same with Restoration of the Word, same with Malachi 4. If that's all you got, and you haven't recognized your day, then you're still short of a new birth. But when you recognize your day and its message, I'm glad Brother Branham said your day and its message. He didn't just say recognize your day. He says recognize your day and its message, because there was a message with every day. And the believers always got with the message of their day. Amen. And when you recognize your day and its message, it's a done deal. You say, well, I need to do it. No, no. You've recognized, it didn't say recognize your day and its message and. That's what people, they don't understand. And I was explaining to them that we're so dogmatic in trying to find out who's going, who's not. You know, who's got it, who doesn't. What denotes you get to go in a rapture or not? And I keep it simple. I say, well, if you believe your day and its message, then you're going. You say, well, they got this wrong, they got that wrong, they got this wrong, they got that wrong. Recognize your day and its message. And whatever things you got wrong, God will get those things right. And you don't have to worry about it. You look at people and you say, well, they have problems. Well, we all have problems. Well, they're short here. Well, you're short there. You know, you might think he's short, but I'm taller than you, and I think you're short. So it's like everybody is all in what perspective you're looking from, but the evidence is recognizing your day and its message. If you keep it that simple like the prophet kept it, then you won't get bogged down and get all mixed up in all this other stuff that people are throwing at you. Well, they don't see this right. They don't have that right. God will make it right. And I learned that over the years, that you might have it wrong here, but that's why I told Jeremiah, Brother Allen's got it right now. He's got the numbers right now. And every doctrine that everybody had mixed up going over to the other side, and they believe they recognize their day and its message, but their doctrine wasn't quite right, they're okay. You say, but don't we have to? No. Don't we need to recognize your day and its message? And we spend so much time trying to make sure everybody else recognizes their day that we forget to recognize our own. You know, I remember that story about the lady who was complaining about her neighbor's windows. She's like, my, that neighbor, she just had the worst windows. She just never cleans her windows and they're just looking awful. Well, one day she cleaned her windows. She kind of find out the neighbor's windows weren't dirty. We spend so much time worrying about everybody else, and we need to just take care of ourselves. If you can just recognize your day in this message, God will take care of everything that you have need of. And it's not as hard as people have made it, and it's not a big struggle. It's just taking the word in and saying, Lord, I believe the report. So come on, musicians. We're going to close. Yes, ma'am. Grab a microphone over there so they'll be able to hear you.
Real quick before I go back to the back. You know, I'm not going to be here next week, and I don't want another service to go by without me testifying.
That's,
you know,
right.
I'm so blessed to recognize my day and its message. And it's so beautiful because all through the ages, they had their own. But we have all the extra information that makes us have just so much peace.
Right.
They worried a lot.
Oh, they did.
They did. They worried. And I'm sitting here with this full revelation, amen, and I thank God so much. And it's so simple. So, so simple. And I love how simple it is. But they can't get it. You either have it or you don't. It's like that simple. And I just want to thank God so much for what I have.
Amen. Yes. Amen. It's a simple revelation.
I'm a double dip.
Double dip.
I know Pastor Moore asked a question. I wasn't here Sunday afternoon. He said, how did you get here? And I just have a quick testimony. I went to school with Brother Solomon. Didn't really know him like that. We were in class together, whatever. And Brother Solomon said God asked him one day, if you could give this message to anybody, who would you give it to? I hadn't seen Brother Solomon in 20-something years or 30-something years, once we graduated. And I walked through the doors and of the church, and Solomon said, I asked God to give it to you. Mm-hmm. He said it was a young lady. Belinda knows, she's a witness because Solomon told her. Even before I got here, he said it was a young lady at my school that was pregnant in high school. And he said, I want God to give her this message. Mm-hmm. Well, the baby that I had is right here. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank God so much because we really believe in predestination. Mm-hmm. We knew that God was, he would say, Michelle, because it was predestinated.
That's right.
That somebody had a job to do.
That's right.
So I just thank God so much for this. And I'm thinking about being at the well. No, I wasn't worthy to go at the time when everybody, all the versions went. Mm-hmm. I wasn't. Mm-mm. But God seen further, and he knows. And I'm just so thankful today. I'm just so, so thankful.
Amen. Amen. Well, none of us was worthy. We'd all been out there at noon, if you really want to know. Amen. Don't forget the announcements. Come back. This is Wednesday, I guess. This is Wednesday. Come back Sunday morning and see what. Here comes mail. See what the Lord will have for us on Sunday.
I just didn't want to get away. I'm going to be away next week myself. And so I want to thank God for bringing me here tonight, because, you know, things happen. But since I have the microphone, can I tell the body how I got here? It's a little obvious. So years ago, our mother told us that we could push away from church if we want to. I was 12. I think you were 15. I was like, yes, that works for me. But over the years, Pastor Moore became Pastor Moore, so I would just visit the church. And I would sit all the way in the back, and then I kept hearing this small voice coming out of my brother. And I was like, that's not my brother anymore. That is straight word from God. And I kept moving up a bench at a time, moving up, moving up. You see where I am now. And it was just the truth coming out of his mouth. And he had to bring us together because of our parents. I'm a hard case. So he had to make the pastor my brother to get me here to believe this word. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen. Amen.
I'm excited for the right thing.
Good.
You know, before Brother Jeremiah got up, I'm going to just tell you, Saints, I'm sorry. God told me to get up and say something, but you know, sometimes you're disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize for that. God, I'm on record. So nonetheless, you know, God is such an extraordinary God.
Yes, He is.
He has shown me that in His life. He showed me that through the body. And I can say that God's brought me a mighty long way. There was a time when I stepped away from church. I was gone for 8 months, and that was a long 8 months. I was out there at a mega church going, you know, going through whatever I was going through at the time. But God brought me back.
Amen.
And to that point, I know the saints prayed me back.
Mm-hmm.
I know you all cared about me. You knew what I was going through, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't God wonderful? Because I'm here now.
Amen.
I'm safe. I'm in a sanctuary that I can sit and rest. I've got a body. When I call somebody on a Sunday afternoon, I got folks that will come to my aid.
Amen.
I've got folks that will come to my aid when I'm going through hell. God showed me he's an overcomer.
Amen.
He showed me that He will be there for me. And that my sister called me the other day. I was struggling in my job. God knows I was just kind of going through whatever I was going through. Nothing much. But, you know, your flesh gets in your head and stuff. And my sister called me up and said, God's got that, sister. Just simple things. She said, I told you back then that God told you he's going to take care of that. And I was like, oh, that's right. And because of that, she said, the word says, she said, God told you back then. And it's simple as just believing, Sister Belinda. And I'm stepping out on that, and I'm still believing.
Amen. Amen. We're believers. We believe the word of God. That's just what we do. Amen. As Jeremiah said, that's what believers believe. Amen. Don't forget, come back Sunday. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting. We can start that over here, you know. A lot of people want to wait till they get over there. I want to get warmed up. Amen. Come back Sunday. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Oh, coming after you and me. Oh, what joy to share. What rejoicing there will be when all the saints shall rise. Headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Yes, oh, what singing. Yes, oh, what shouting. On that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory. Hallelujah. When we meet our blessed Savior in the sun. It seems that now I almost see all the saints is dead. Rising more at jubilee that is just ahead. In a twinkling of an eye, changed with them to me.